And now for our third segment, the big words. The other day, I was nursing a bit of a hangover, and I went over, got my car, and drove my happy ass over to Taco Bell. I pulled up to the drive-thru because I was way too lazy. Walk in and ask for three cheesy beefy burritos. They smell so good, and my car almost couldn't wait until I got home. Watch a movie as I often do. In fact, every time I sit down for a meal, I put on a movie or a TV show. So I got home, I grabbed a bag and I brought it in. I almost forgot to take off the wrappers. I was so hungry. Put on some Netflix from the Netflix picks. Went to town on those burritos. Oh boy, was it good. So beef and cheesy. Oh god, the beef and cheese just melted in my mouth. And after I finished eating, I curled up on the couch, threw a blanket over my feet, and took a nap. Lasted about 3 hours. Woke up again, starving as I so often am. I got up, grabbed the keys, went over to McDonald's. People at McDonald's are quite rude when they're going through the drive-thru, but I'm far too lazy to walk in. So I dragged my ass through the drive-thru and got myself a Big Mac meal. I also picked up a dollar double cheeseburger just to supplement the meal because I knew that one extra large super-sized king-sized Big Mac meal wasn't going to be enough. So I grabbed that, came back to the pad, and put on another movie. Fuck, I might have even put on the same one, I can't remember. I ate that Big Mac in about 2 bites. Fuck, was it good. When I was done, I ate the french fries. I used the pointy ones that are overcooked a little bit too hard to stab the other soft french fries. Dipped them in some ranch dressing mixed with some ketchup. That's the only way to do it. That's the only way I do it. Then proceeded to eat the double cheeseburger that I bought to supplement my meal. It wasn't what I expected, but it did the trick. I was a fat, happy fuck right after I was done. That concludes our episode of Big Words.
Well, we're back. It's the Bad Words Boys. Once again, it's been a little bit.
Been a minute.
I don't know how long it's been.
I think it's been almost 3 weeks. It's
been 3 weeks. Why?
Well, we've been busy.
We've been very busy. We've been busy doing a lot of very important things. And sometimes when you've got important things to do, other important things become something that you gotta kind of put aside for a second. But, yeah, the last time that we put something up was October 14th.
I think we recorded it maybe 2 or 3 days before that, too.
Yeah. So it's been a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're here. The once and future kings have returned. We're in a bit of a metamorphosis, a bit of a transitionary phase of of podcasting. I think we're going to do some things a little bit different. One of the main things that I want to do is I want to kind of trim the fat. I want to take it down to brass tacks and focus in. That way when you guys are listening, it's not a bunch of ho-hum dudes fucking recounting the minutia of their week, and rather we're gonna discuss the important stuff, the big stuff that's going on.
Yeah, maybe a little more structure, a little more regimented.
Yeah, and I don't think that today's necessarily gonna be the biggest reflection of that. This is more of a, this is like the stretch, you know, we're loosening it up a little bit so that we can focus in and put it together a little bit. We are going to introduce one new segment today.
Yeah.
And I think eventually you'll find that this podcast becomes more and more, you know, it's going to be a handful of segments that you can count on, and maybe a little less just jibber-jabber. There will always be jibber-jabber. As long as I'm involved, there will forever be tangential conversation and just spouting off about stuff that I hardly know about. But
that's definitely a reflection of the kind of people that we are.
Yeah.
So,
and hopefully a reflection of the type of listening audience that we've developed. We don't want some select crew of people that are into like one thing and they never change, and they're just blah about life. We want to attract people that are hopefully similar to us, in that they're constantly evolving and developing in different directions, with certain things maintaining central to who we are.
Yeah,
those things being, you know, we're at its core, this is just a podcast about a couple buds getting together and talking, and we'll bring other buds in from different areas and things like that. This feels an awful lot like an episode one, but it's really this is episode
27.
I thought we already did that.
No, 26 was the last one we threw up.
26, yeah. Wow, episode 27. No wonder why we almost died. All great rock stars die at 27.
It's true.
They all go. And that's why I quit playing music, because I didn't die. So, yeah. Let's just jump right in. Rather than continuing to talk about not rambling.
Yeah.
I could continue to talk about not rambling, but...
Well,
we're back, and we're taking back the fucking hot dog shop.
Hell yeah. I love hot dogs.
We got the best hot dog shop in town, bitch. So we're going to kick it off with probably the centerpiece of the show. We usually talk about some Netflix picks.
We do talk about some Netflix picks.
We typically will go on at length about Netflix picks.
I got a couple Netflix picks.
Do you?
Yeah. You got some Netflix
picks? It's been a bit. We could use a couple Netflix picks.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go there. You wanna lead in?
I'll kick it off.
You wanna go backsie forthsie?
Sure, man. I've got two, possibly three.
He's got two, possibly three.
So
possibly three. I love the fact that there's a possible three. Is it because that one you're kind of on the fence about, or is it haven't watched it yet? What are we talking?
Okay, so I've got one that is my definite Netflix pick.
Mm.
I've got one that I only watched about half of, but I could tell it's going to be fucking good.
Half good.
Yeah. And then another one is a TV series that I've been watching for a bit, and I don't quite know how I feel about it yet.
Okay.
So, I'll jump into my actual pick.
The strongest of the crew.
Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
You loved it.
I loved it.
Really?
I've seen it a couple times.
Wow.
And I enjoyed it.
That's an unexpected pick. We're unabashed Kevin Smith fans here.
Well, here's the thing. I liked it and was slightly embarrassed about liking it. Then I found out the other day, I had no clue that Kevin Smith had done that film.
Really?
Wrote and directed. Yeah. No clue. I thought it was a fucking Seth Rogen film. I thought that he had wrote and directed that movie, but found out it was Kevin Smith, and I was like, all right, so I guess it's okay for me to like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fun film. Fucking two roommates who work at the same place. Both are struggling to make ends meet. They can't pay the rent. The heat gets turned off. The power gets turned off. Everything gets turned off. Kind of sounds like when we live together.
Yeah. Tough times.
Tough times. Know how it goes. I can relate. So they decide to make a porno film. And it all starts off going so right. They're going to do a Star Wars themed porno film. They got fucking awesome costumes.
Which they that must exist at this point.
Oh, yeah.
They're making...
Well, fuck it. Right after Man of Steel hit the theaters, they made a Man of Steel porno.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like with the Mandarin and shit? Or was it more based on... No. Man of Steel.
Man of Steel.
I went into Iron Man there for a second. Man of Steel, yeah. You can make Superman.
In my search to try and illegally download Man of Steel, I found the porn.
And you accidentally downloaded that and then accidentally watched it a bunch of times.
They had a couple screenshots posted, though, and I checked them out. It looked a little weird. They got the suit right, though.
Did they?
He's just able to pop his cock out of it.
Huh.
Which I don't...
Got a little dick hole.
Yeah.
So it stars Elizabeth Banks, Seth Rogen, and Craig Robinson, whoever that is.
Jason Mewes is in it as well.
Yes, he is. So I've seen this movie. I rented it when it came out on DVD, and I've watched it since on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan.
Word.
It's a fun movie. It's definitely Kevin Smith giving his best shot at like a Judd Apatow type of comedy.
Yeah.
So if you're into that,
and him like giving it that shot, you know, like kind of trying to make it in the same style as the Judd Apatow films. I think that must have been what threw me off. I literally had no idea that Kevin Smith had anything to do with it. Because the first time I watched it was overseas, so I don't have all the...
Right.
You know, what they got, you know, like, I didn't know who the director was.
They didn't make anything. A big deal, like, when they were pumping it up for release, they didn't even really mention that Kevin Smith was the guy.
Yeah.
And also, they didn't even call it Zach and Miri Make a Porno in the... In the commercials, they just called it Zach and Miri.
Oh, really?
Because saying porno during, American during Idol time. Or something might have been a problem. But I back the pick in that it is Kevin Smith. It is some actors and actresses that you like a lot. Surprisingly, not a whole ton of nudity and stuff in it.
No.
They take it easy on that.
Yeah.
They don't hit you over the head with a bunch of boobs, for better or worse. So, yeah, that's your first of potentially three picks.
Potentially three. I'm going to talk about all three.
Yeah.
But you want to take a swing, or you want me to...
Yeah, I'll go in with one.
With another one.
This one, this should come as no surprise. I was surprised, actually, to see it on the queue already, but we got Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
The CW's Arrow. 23 episodes, the entire first season. Second season is currently airing. Now, I don't love this, alright? I don't love it by any stretch of the imagination. Here's what it's got going for it. It's based on a DC Comics property. Green Arrow.
Yeah.
It's got some of the most incredible action scenes you're going to see on TV.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's what I love about it. And tied into the whole thing about it being like a DC Comics property, I like the potential that's there. I like that I know that there's this huge world of the DCU that is potentially going to be drawn from. Like, I'm watching it, like, just waiting to be like, oh, shoot, like, are they going to bring in this guy or that guy?
Have they brought in anyone?
They have, yeah.
Okay. I only watched those first two episodes, so.
Yeah, well, you gotta push through it if you want to play the game. But I also understand if you don't fucking feel like pushing through it, because there's a lot of stuff that aren't going for this show. Some of the stuff that isn't going for it is because it's a CW show, it's formatted and written as a TV show for people who maybe aren't... It's not...
It's a fucking soap opera.
Yeah, it's a soap opera for sure, and I think that's why my wife enjoys it. She says that she loves the action scenes and in this and that. But
I tried to get Lindsay into it because I thought she would enjoy it, uh-huh. Pretty much for the same reason. I mean, there's hot dudes in it.
Yeah.
You know, the cover is a dude with shredded abs.
No, he is cut up.
Shirtless.
He's not even worried about it. He's hit the gym.
Yeah, I don't know. It's even filmed like a soap opera. That was another thing. Like,
it's very high def.
Yeah,
the frame rate's pretty intense. Yeah, but kind of going back to what I was saying about it, and on the cover, it looks like he's not wearing any fucking pants.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't need pants. That, like, his. There's at least a good 6 inches below his navel right there.
Yeah. He's got those weird cuts.
Yeah.
On this, yeah.
That, yeah. You can almost see the root of the top of his dick. So, because it's done up like a TV show that isn't putting too much, they aren't expecting too much of you. Mm-hmm. They let you know what's going on. Every time you can watch like a random episode, and they'll be like, "I love you because you're my sister, and you're my," you know, they tell you exactly what the fuck's going on. So, you know, as somebody who's a fan of stuff that's maybe a little bit more challenging, the challenge here is putting up with some dumb writing.
Yeah.
They got.
I want so badly to be into it. I don't know. I'll give it another watch.
They seem a little bit confused about the morality of Green Arrow. Who in this they call either the Vigilante or the Hood? It's like, just fucking call him Green Arrow. Don't be embarrassed of your source material.
Were you also saying that fucking everyone knows he's the Green Arrow?
He lets fucking everybody in.
That would drive me insane.
In the first season, and. Oh, yeah, we should drop this on you. We're going to have spoilers in this shit. Every episode, we're going to have spoilers. I'll say it every time. Maybe we'll make a little recording to play at the beginning, because I'm going to get sick of saying it. We're going to have spoilers. Boom. So here's a spoiler. He tells fucking no less than 10 people, like, hey, I'm the Vigilante. Oh, no, he doesn't talk like that. He uses like a voice modulator and makes his voice deeper. He's got a homeboy who like kind of does it with him. He's got a tech person. He's got a couple friends that know. People are just finding out left and right throughout the first season. And I hope that they kind of knock that shit off.
Because in the real world,
you tell two people. Yeah.
You tell two people. And the rest of the fucking world's going to know within a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
Days, even.
And they don't make a big deal. He's not overly concerned about these people that know. It's like he gets put into a tight situation. He's got to let them know at some point.
Yeah.
And he lets them know. And... Nobody's going to fucking flap their jaw drunkenly at the bar. Be like, hey, my super rich... friend fights the crime. They seem confused about which tack they want to take in terms of his morality too. Like, he kills a bunch of motherfuckers, and then he's not killing people, and then he's critiquing other people for killing people.
Yeah, I noticed that even in the first two episodes, they're kind of like, seem like, okay, are they going to make him a good guy or a bad guy?
Yeah, and he's killing. Like, this guy raised the rent too high at his apartment. kill him.
What does he say right before? Right before
he's like, "You failed this city."
Yeah,
it gets fucking tired after a while. Believe me. You watch 23 episodes, and he says it like twice an episode. You start to get sick of that goddamn city.
The Court of Owls is sensing. Fuck me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, something about the Court of Owls, you know. So it's a show worth checking out. It is my pick.
Cool.
I spent a lot of time when it was playing fucking around on my phone and staring off and cooking meals and like walking out, going down to the corner store, coming back, thinking about it. Meanwhile, it's still playing. The wife's still watching it.
Kind of like a podcast.
Yeah, just kind of space out. Just kind of do your thing. Yeah. It's there.
It's white.
Throw it on at night. Fall asleep. Wake up the next day. Go to work. Go through your day. Put it on and not even realize that you've missed shit because it's a CW TV show and they're gonna catch you up. So that's Arrow, and it's worth checking out.
So my second pick.
Second.
Is
Numeral Dose.
Numeral Dose.
And this is second pick because
I only watched half of it.
That's
I imagine
right.
It probably would have been my first, but I fell asleep. Watched it a couple nights ago during the week. I got long days, short nights, so. It's called Becoming Santa.
Oh yeah, I've watched that one.
Yeah, a documentary.
Yeah, and it's getting to be around the time of year where you're gonna get a little extra love out of that one.
Yeah. So, what I got from it, couldn't even tell you if I actually really made it halfway through. To be honest, I might have only made it about 20 minutes in, maybe even 15. Who knows? But I passed out while I was watching it.
And, you give it the old hometown effort. Though,
so. I did. And it seemed cool. And I was bummed that I passed out, but I was beat. So, follows this dude. I think his name's Jack. And he kind of a fat dude. Got a big old beard, longish hair. And decides he wants to see, you know, what this whole Santa business is about. Found out, oh, that was it. His dad had passed away. His
dad died, yeah.
And he found a photo of him dressed up as Santa one year. And he wanted to be closer to his dad. Found out that his dad had done that over the course of several years. And
this is a fucking stretch, you know? He's trying to tie in some emotionality into this documentary. I don't know if that's, like, necessary. He could have just been like,
It totally could have stood on its own, like,
yeah.
What he ends up doing. But I guess he bleaches out his hair and his beard to, like, straight up white. And looks the part. They give him a cool little haircut, pomp his hair up real good. He looks like an OG Santa Claus. Gets a Santa Claus fucking suit made for himself, all nice and tailored and everything. And right about where I fell asleep, he had just started Santa school.
Yeah, he takes a bunch of classes. He does the whole nine.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a Santa school. That shit's fucking crazy.
And there's some fucking weird, like, yeah. You gotta be pretty weird to want to go to Santa school to go get a, like, a seasonal gig where you hardly get paid. But you meet some interesting characters.
It was weird seeing some of the people in the class, too. There's, like, a bald dude. I was like, how the fuck
is there a brother in there, too? You got a black Santa.
Yeah.
And you got some guys with probably criminal record. Like, these aren't the most stand-up-looking people, some of them. But, yeah, it's a cool documentary, and it's a documentary that I'm finding more and more rare. I've watched a shitload of documentaries. I've watched pretty much everything that Netflix presents.
You talking about that type of documentary?
The type of documentary where it just explores, like, a person that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a guy, maybe he's not super interesting, but the journey that he's put himself on is interesting.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, it's got emotional beats to it, like tying in the stuff about his dad. And there's some stuff, you know, Santa helps out fucking kids, helps out disabled kids and shit like that, underprivileged kids. So we're going to get a little taste of that in this documentary. But by and large, it's about, hey, look at me. I'm fucking dyeing my beard and wearing, like, getting a fucking tailored Santa suit.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but it's not going to, like, challenge you in terms of how you feel politically about something or make you feel bad about somebody being dead or so many of these documentaries. It's like, fucking, how do you feel about the U.S. Position at war? Or how do you feel about the economy eating shit or the world falling apart?
Lindsay and I sat down, and we both wanted to watch a documentary the other night, and we put on, it just got added to Netflix, it's a Werner Herzog documentary on, like these two dudes who broke into this lady's house, killed her, and killed her two sons to steal a car or something like that.
Yeah, it's a tough watch when you just want to fucking...
Yeah, we just wanted to kick back and watch a documentary. Like, I'm down. I'm way down for a crime documentary. Way down.
Yeah.
But that was just going way too in-depth. They were touching on a lot of religious stuff in it, too, which I thought was kind of odd.
Huh.
And it just, I don't know, it wasn't my thing. So we watched, I don't know, maybe a half hour of that, turned it off, and then put on... Becoming Santa.
And then you promptly fell asleep.
Yeah, and then I promptly fell asleep.
Because it didn't fucking trouble you, probably.
No, yeah.
It's like, oh, now I'm allowed to relax. We got some fucking Santa shit going on. So that's pretty good. For a guy, like, you work a lot, and you got a lot of heated subjects brewing in your head. It's good to be able to put on something about Santa and just fucking go away.
Yeah.
So I back that pick thoroughly.
Yeah, that's
a great pick.
Definitely going to sit down and revisit that in the near future.
Yeah. So, yeah, at least finish it up.
Yeah.
My next pick is Extreme Cheapskates, which this is a fucking... I hesitate to have this as a pick because this show is fucking dumb. It's another one of those, I think TLC produces it. It's about people who are fucking cheapskates. And let me tell you, this has got to be one of the fakest goddamn shows I've ever seen. The term that they use, it's not reality shows anymore. It's non-scripted shows. That way they can dance around the fact that there's gonna be some shit that's set up. There's gonna be, like, moments that they know is... They know we're going to have this guy do this or that, but they don't script it. I don't believe that everyone in there is being genuine about the way that they're extreme cheapskates. I think that they ham it up for the camera. A lot of the shit is delivered, like, on Pawn Stars or something, where you can tell that they've rehearsed their line beforehand.
Yeah.
And so it's got that unnatural delivery. That said... For this, for an even more extreme version of why Becoming Santa works, this is a good show to put on when you don't want to fucking think about anything, and when you don't want to get caught too intensely in a narrative.
Yeah,
it's only 7 episodes, but it's something that you can put on when you're vegging out, and like I say, you aren't going to get sucked into a narrative. So if you got some other shit you got to do, you can put it on. It's good background noise. And occasionally you can watch these people pinching pennies in the most ridiculous ways. You see people doing stuff that we've all done, trying to cut some corners, save a few bucks, but doing it in the most, like, cartoonish, crazy way you can imagine. Like, dumpster diving. This woman rips open she rips open a garbage bag, and it's full of, like, rice from
looked like she, like, someone had gone to fucking
Whole Foods and dumped out a carafe of rice. She rips open this trash bag and she's like, look at this good rice. It's like, what are you, fucking crazy lady? As somebody who's pulled shit out of the dumpster and eaten it, I know that the fucking rice is off limits.
The rice is no damn good.
The rice is not going to be good. It's not good for you. It's not happening. I don't know what the fuck you're planning on doing with that rice, but it's the only thing it's good for is your compost heap.
You fucking, I think you actually said that when we were watching it.
Yeah, I was like, what's that for? The fucking compost? What the fuck are you doing?
This is good rice.
Half of that is maggots, I guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're just sleeping. Maybe they look like rice. So that shit ain't pilaf. That was regular white rice, and now it looks like pilaf because it's got maggots. It's got turds. It's got bugs. It's got critters. It's got germs. It's got mold that grew roots throughout the entire system. Now you're going to bring home this shit? And she's digging her hands through it like it's fucking white gold.
It is one thing.
She's running through her fingers like, woo-wee! I got this fucking aging rice that was thrown out because some fat ass farted on it. Somebody sneezed over the sneeze guard. It expired. It went too hot, too cold, too gross. And they threw it out. Now you're going to bring it home and make some goddamn rice pudding.
Not even that. Wasn't she going to make a meal for her family?
Yeah, she had some family coming over. And later on, you see this little kid sitting there, like a little baby kid, eating all this fucking garbage food. I'm sorry, but you're fucked up, lady. And also, they reveal that almost all of these extreme cheapskates, and here's one to grow on. There's something, these guys know something that we don't know. Most of them have like several hundreds of thousands of dollars in multiple bank accounts.
Yeah.
And some of them are millionaires. They all own homes. It's like, how the fuck are you owning a home? I'm a professional. My wife's a professional.
These people are fucking borderline fucking crazy.
We own a business.
Like legit psychos.
Yeah. Did they just inherit this shit? Some of them have jobs. Some of them don't seem to really work. They just fucking dig nickels out of fucking crevasses. There's this guy. He's like, I do like a spending fast or whatever. And he, for like a week or two, he won't spend any money. But then I shows him digging through his fucking couch looking for nickels so that he can go buy a fucking goat head to eat. It's like,
a goat head?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he goes and he buys two goat heads from a butcher for super cheap because he's an extreme cheapskate, and that's like cheap meat. But it's like, if you're on a spending fast, what are you doing digging through your couch? I knew I had a spending fast coming up, but I'm allowed to spend couch money, I'd tuck a couple hundred in there. I'd squeak some fucking loot in there. And this guy doesn't believe in driving around. He says, you know, a car's too expensive. So he rides his bike all over the damn place, and he rides his bike all fucking day, and then comes home with two goat heads. It's like,
goat's not even good. I can't imagine goat head being very good.
I think goat's fine.
I'm not down with the goat. I only had it once, though, and it was overcooked.
Well, this guy, he rides his bike for like 14 hours, and then comes home and cooks up these goat heads. It's like, dude, if you just fucking hopped on the bus and went to work, you'd be fucking all right. You could have hung up that bike. Sure, you would have missed out on some valuable exercise or whatever. But maybe you'd be eating a nice wholesome meal and you could maintain your health that way. This guy's a fucking creep. The woman's a creep. They're all creeps.
Why was he riding? Was he trying to find a place that sold goat heads?
He just went to his local butcher that he had like somewhat of a relationship with him.
Why was he riding around all day, though? Just collecting.
He was looking for change and shit. A lot of these people go out and they'll like forage stuff, which I think is great. They'll like go out to the woods and they'll find like, they're pretty, some of these guys are pretty good at identifying like, you know, different greens and stuff that are edible.
Crazy Rice Lady, though?
Crazy Rice Lady made some pretty good looking fucking grape leaf wraps.
Yeah, but that salad she made did not look appetizing.
I don't
know
what the fuck she put in the salad. They were complaining about it a little bit. That same woman pisses in a goddamn Nantucket nectar bottle. Yeah. She pisses in a bottle because she doesn't want to flush her toilet.
Oh, that was one of the things. Someone else was doing that also. That seemed to be a running theme with these people.
And she felt like dumping her pee in her compost heap was going to help the compost heap.
No, that's going to make nothing grow. Shit will help it.
When I was a kid, I was fucking lazy. My house was tiny, but me and my boys would sit in we called it the game room. It was just this tiny little room, and we'd all sit in there and play Nintendo 64. And we'd just piss out the window because we were drinking these 3 liters of Shaw's brand cola.
Of course.
Piss out the window. And then I noticed that all the grass was dead and like a halo around the range of the window. And one day my dad said to me, hey, you guys got to quit pissing out the window. He knew all along. But we killed the grass. So if it kills grass, I don't imagine that it's great for your compost, because in your compost you want these living cultures to break down the stuff that you put in there.
Yeah.
So if I can kill good old
grass, you can kill the fucking cultures that grow on your feet and create athlete's foot.
Yeah. Piss on your feet, save your feet.
It's probably not too good for your compost heap.
No. And the worms and stuff, yeah. I don't think worms like it.
No.
I think they're like, what the fuck? This lady's dumping stale piss on us again. I don't understand why she doesn't just pee in the shower.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Or why she doesn't... She takes her... I remember. She doesn't take showers at home. She takes showers at the gym. So why not piss at the gym?
Boom.
Why not fucking go piss in your yard? Make a little fucking outhouse rather than peeing in a fucking jar, you fucking creep. All right, I'm 34 years old. I don't claim to know exactly how a woman's urine happens. I've seen video. I've seen pictures. But she must be pretty fucking good peeing in a Nantucket nectar bottle.
Yeah.
You can't tell me it's not dribbling down her hands, down the side of it, fucking all over the place.
I have a hard time pissing in bottles.
Yeah.
I don't even have a big dick.
No. So, fucking Extreme Cheapskates, check the freak show. Extreme Freak Skates.
I'll back that pick. For sure. I've only watched like half an episode, but it was great.
And what were we doing? We're cooking and fucking around.
Yeah.
That's how you watch some shows. This isn't a classic, you know? This isn't a thing where you really gotta immerse yourself and take notes. You just fucking put it on. It ain't Twin Peaks, it ain't. So what do we got?
All right.
This is the one that you hesitate on.
This is my third and final pick? Question mark.
Pick? Netflix?
It's,
pick?
American Horror Story.
Oh, American Horror Story.
Yeah.
We talked about that a couple months ago. I'm glad that you got around to it.
Did someone else pick it?
Yeah, I picked it. I think I might have... I don't know if I picked it or if I just said, like, hey, it's a thing I'm watching.
Okay.
But American Horror Story, season 1, 12 episodes of it are up on the Flicks. Give us your take on this.
I enjoy it, but I can't watch episode after episode like I normally do with TV shows.
You don't want to post up and marathon this one.
No. I can get maybe 2 episodes before I'm like, all right, I need something else for a little bit. But it's great.
It's pretty good. They fucking throw everything at you.
They do. Like any...
Anything. Like, hey, this is kind of fucking freaky.
Yeah, anything that's creepy, freaky, whatever, they toss it in there, it seems like.
A demented baby? Throw it in. A fucking Columbine-style shooter? Throw it in.
That weird fucking S&M dude?
Throw in a fucking gimp suit. Who cares? Have him walk around. Oh, you fucking demented things in the basement? Throw it in. Zachary Quinto as a dead gay? Throw him in! You know Zachary Quinto.
I don't.
He played Mr. Spock in the J.J. Abrams... He played Siler in Heroes, which was good for maybe half of one season. And he's one of my favorite guys on TV. He's a gay man in the real world.
Is he?
And he's a fucking charmer. He's got eyebrows for days. And he plays a really interesting character in American Horror Story Season 1. You gotta love Jessica Lange in this. Jessica Lange. She's the next door neighbor.
Oh, dude, she's fucking awesome.
Creepy as shit.
Yeah.
She's got that great accent. You know her from Big Fish.
Yeah.
In Big Fish, you fall in love with her.
Yeah.
You're like, man, when I'm an old man, that's how I want my relationship to be with my wife. And this?
She's wretched a fucking bitch. Evil cunt. Yeah.
Wretched.
The way she fucking treated her daughter.
Oh, my God. Fucking so she's horrible. Got this daughter with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And so this daughter of hers, one Halloween is like, what do you want to dress up as for Halloween? She says, I want to be a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jessica Lange's character, like, it's like, don't be fucking stupid or whatever.
Yeah, she just scoffs at it and kind of makes fun of her.
Like, that, it's that moment where you say, well, that's not much of a costume. You're already a beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to go get some makeup or a special dress? Or
yeah.
We can go get your hair done. No, she's like, that's a shit idea. And so what does she do? She ends up going out to fucking Halloween City or something and buying a pretty girl mask. Being like, there you go. Now you can be a pretty girl for Halloween. Heartbreaking. Heart-wrenching.
Heart-wrenching because the daughter loves it.
Yeah.
She's all excited about it.
She knows herself. She knows that, like, yeah, it's fucking... Her mom never taught her to fucking feel beautiful in her own skin.
Yeah.
But that's like, what's kind of cool about American Horror Story. Besides all, like, the crazy shit that they're throwing at the wall, there's some really good characterization in this. Great actors.
Mm-hmm. Who's the dude? Evan Peters, is that his name?
No.
Who's the main guy? Or the dad or whatever.
His name is, like, Dermot Mulroney or something.
Okay.
Or something Dermot or...
McDermott?
Dylan McDermott.
There we go.
I believe. Either way. He's pretty good in it, and he was in a movie that we just watched, which I'm not including as my Netflix pick, but he was in Olympus Has Fallen, which, you know, came up on the queue recently. Not my fucking pick. It's like the fucking stupidest version of
Die Hard.
Yeah, it's Die Hard in the White House. And you'll watch it and you'll have a laugh or something, but...
I had a good time watching it.
You can have a good time watching virtually anything. But if I was... I watched it with you, so it was kind of fun because we were taking the piss out of it.
Yeah.
And we were, like, you know, rooting on Gerard Butler. We like him because he's cool.
He's the dude,
He's fucking...
He was in fucking 300.
Yeah. So he's got my vote. But it was stupid. And you know who's lost his shine almost entirely? Morgan Freeman, that's who.
It's because he spreads himself so goddamn thin.
Morgan Freeman's
in every
trying,
fucking movie now.
What's he fucking saving for? Dude's oldest sin? Is he just trying to put together a nice little inheritance for his grandkids or something?
Maybe he's just trying to make sure that no one forgets him. Like,
and you must remember... He went through 2 miles of shit. I will meet my friend and I will make a boat. And that's my Morgan Freeman.
I forget to talk about the penguins.
What's he say about penguins?
He narrated that whole penguin film that everyone was all up in arms about a few years back.
Here come some penguins.
That's about all he said.
Here are some penguins. They sure walk slowly. Why do they live in a harsh environment?
You saw nothing like him.
I don't think it's too bad. That's the first time I've ever... Why do they live in a harsh environment?
You sound like a slave owner.
Go pick some cotton. Maybe he sounds like a slave owner to me. So yeah, that's... I don't really want to... blow my load picking too many things. What did I pick? I picked Arrow and Extreme Cheapskates. I already know what my pick for next episode is going to be.
Yeah. I'll figure something out.
Watch me fucking throw it. I'll throw it out there right now. Skyfall just came up on this bitch.
Ooh.
That's right. That is right. And I haven't seen it.
You haven't?
I haven't seen Skyfall.
Ooh, it's good.
I'm really looking forward to it.
It's really good.
I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, that's Netflix fix.
It's about the size of that.
Ba-da-ba. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can go on your Netflix and watch it. And you can share with us if you have some cool Netflix picks that you want us to watch and review on our Facebook. Just go ahead and look for Bad Words Media. And if you don't already like it, consider liking it. It's a thing that you could do.
We'd appreciate it.
I'm almost past the point of giving a shit about it, but it does feel nice when somebody, like, you know, we aren't going to inundate you with bullshit. It's just nice. It's a nice thing.
So this morning, I was really hungover.
Uh-huh.
And, I wasn't really hungover. I was just hungry, mostly.
Yeah.
As I so
often am. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I felt pretty fine, mostly just hungry.
We went bowling last night, yes, and you were the big winner.
I was, with a solid 105.
Yes.
About 104.
And I believe I had a 96.
Yeah.
Which I was hoping to do better than that.
I was hoping to do better than I did as well.
We both made up for our lack of... You were the number one guy, though, so yeah, you had to feel good about beating old Conrad and my wife. And our friend, and your lady.
I mean, I kind of knew going into it that I'd beat everyone, but...
You didn't know. There had to be some doubt.
No doubt.
I am so gonna fuck you up next time we go there. I was all wearing right. Size fucking 16 shoes. You were?
I forgot about that.
I was
holy shit.
I was goofing around a little bit. I feel like now the fucking gauntlet has been thrown down. Now it's time to fucking...
So check it out. We go to go bowling, and we go straight to the bar... And we sat in the bar, did a little karaoke, and drank for about 4 hours before we actually bowled.
Yep. Ate some bowling alley food. I got the Double D burger. I ate mine, and then I proceeded to eat my wife's.
I ate the meat out of a burger.
Mm-hmm.
Had some French fries. Just kind of snacked off everyone else's plates. Michael's wife got... some chili cheese French fries that were so fucking gross and good.
I loved it. It was this fucking canned chili and some fucking nacho cheese.
It's fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got up this morning to go help my pops load some shit into a truck before he drove a couple hours to go drop it off for some thing he's doing, or his wife, or someone's having a garage sale or something. And afterwards, I was like, man, I'm fucking starving. Went over to Jack in the Box, which was closed, and I saw that it was recently opened. Reopened. They did some remodeling.
How is it? Pretty nice?
I didn't go in.
How was the drive-thru?
The drive-thru was great. And the lady working the window, sweet as pie.
Aw.
Yeah. Very pleasant.
Very nice.
So, go through, get my, I don't know what I got the Big Jack breakfast meal or something like the Breakfast Jack meal.
Yeah.
And roll through, start eating it on the way home, realize that it's probably not enough food, so I went to McDonald's.
No, you didn't.
I did. Just to supplement what I had already gotten. McDonald's was nowhere near as good.
Really?
Nowhere near as good.
What'd you get at McDonald's? Let's see.
You got two sausage biscuits off the dollar menu.
There you go. That's the mistake. Those biscuits are dry as sin.
The lady running the window also, not as pleasant as the one at Jack in the Box.
No. She didn't have a nicely remodeled environment.
No, she didn't. She was actually standing in the ancient fucking first window. You know what how they used to do that? Pull up to window one and pay, and then you pull up to window two. The hated first
window, yeah.
So that was my morning.
That's not a terrible morning. We got a new segment.
All right, let's kick it off.
I don't know which fucking one it is. But But what we got here, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to do it with this one.
Okay.
Actually, let's just do it with the first one that comes up.
There we go.
There you go. This is the preview review, in which Dick and I, what we're going to do is we're going to review a preview. So we're going to go ahead. I think we've both already watched this.
Yes.
So we know what to expect. We talked a little bit about it in a previous episode, but we're going to dig right in right now.
Here's the idea behind preview review.
We didn't even talk about what the preview review is to us. Like, to me, we're going to watch a preview.
Yeah, and then review it.
And then
yeah, it's as simple as that. It's all in the name.
Do you understand?
But in watching TV these days, I don't see a whole lot of previews anymore.
I don't watch a whole lot of TV, so I wouldn't know.
I feel like you'll see, like, previews for, like, the big blockbusters and whatnot. Once in a while, but for the most part, it's just ads and shit now. And yeah. I'm sure that that's in part due to YouTube taking over everything and all kinds of internet, social medias, and
yeah, they're counting on you to fucking find it yourself.
Yeah. So we're gonna bring it to you.
Yeah. So here you go, movie industry. We're helping you out yet again. This week. For this episode, Lone Survival, official trailer number one, based on the book Lone Survivor.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and we're going to play that right now. You can look this up on fucking YouTube. It's rated R.
Petty Officer Chase. Can you say it?
Can you say it?
Mr. Patton, please.
Been around the world twice, talked to everyone once. There ain't nothing I can't do, no sky too high, no sea too left. Learned a lot of lessons in my life. Never shoot a large caliber man with a small caliber bullet. Anything in life worth doing is worth overdoing. Moderation's for cowards. I'm a lover, I'm a fighter, I'm a UDT Navy SEAL diver.
Listen up, Red Wings a go. Bad guy, senior Taliban commander.
I'm sure I killed 20 Marines last week. 20.
Going in with a four-man team. Atchison, myself, Vince, Marcus. TV. It's a lot more than 10 guys. It's an army. This office compromised.
This is Spartan Zero Moment. Maybe I'm sure.
Danny, you ready to work it? The way I see it, we got two options. One, let them go, roll the dice. The
second that they run down there, we got 200 on our backs.
Two, we terminate the compromise.
We cannot do that. I don't care. I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. Not telling kids, not feeling it.
This is not a vote. We're gonna cut them loose, and we're going home.
Roger that, sir.
So yeah, that's the sounds of the Lone Survivor trailer. Speaking of sounds, what is that? Fucking Peter Gabriel? We can be heroes.
It sounds like it, huh? Jesus is
heroes. We can be heroes. Is it? Weird choice.
Yeah, very
It started out sounding like it was explosions in the sky, and then it turned out to be explosions of Peter Gabriel. Who does that song, We Can Be Heroes?
We can be heroes. Just for
one day. That might be the fucking song.
Be a cover. All I can think of is Ewan McGregor doing it in Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. Well.
He does a great job.
So yeah, Lone Survivor was a great book that we both enjoyed thoroughly by Marcus Luttrell. Look it up. It's a quick, easy read. It's about a Navy SEAL operative who gets put on a mission in Afghanistan. A big part of the book, and we've talked about this in a previous episode, so I'm going to kind of move through this. Big part of the book is about him becoming a SEAL. And then the main narrative is about him and his crew getting put on a mission to go whack this Taliban boss.
He was probably second in command, because they're always whacking the second in command.
And that's how it gets reported to the media. So they go out there, and shit goes horribly wrong. And I gotta say, the trailer, from what I can see, it's showing me very much the movie that was playing in my head as I read the book.
Yeah, absolutely. Marcus Luttrell was saying, you know, he's been getting asked for years now, because the book came out in what, like 2006, 2007, something like that?
Something like that. That sounds like, right.
Yeah, it came out a while back, and he's been getting asked, when's the movie coming out? When's the movie coming out? And he's just been saying, look, I want to do this right. These were my brothers. I want to do them justice. I need to get their characters correct.
And I don't think that we're fucking blowing up the spot by saying Marcus is the only guy that makes it up.
No.
It's called Lone Survivor.
It's in the fucking title. Spoilers.
Spoilers. But in the book, you become very fond of Marcus. He's got a big heart.
Yeah.
A good guy, and that's part of the reason why all this trouble happens in the movie, is because it was a bunch of good guys. They didn't want to do this one, like, potentially considered dastardly act of killing there's a goat herder and his kid, and he rolls up on these guys while they're moving through the forest, and they choose not to kill this guy and his kid. And of course, this guy goes and kind of notifies the Taliban, hey, you got some problems over there. So the Taliban come in force and fuck it up. That's the setup. Either way, so you've been to Afghanistan. Does this look like Afghanistan? Did it give you an Afghanistan feel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks like where they were, which is, you know, in the... what is it? Jalalabad area, which is the eastern part of Afghanistan. It looks exactly like it looks up there.
I'd be interested to know where they filmed this. They probably filmed it in the goddamn Appalachians or something.
Or somewhere here in California. Wouldn't be surprised if they filmed it in the Redwoods somewhere.
Huh. But yeah, so as far as the preview goes, I'm giving it a good review. I imagine this is a movie I'm going to see in the theaters because I've been a fan of the book for so long.
Same.
If I hadn't read the book, I don't know if I would go see it in the theaters. So if you want to get amped on this, go read the book, and then I guarantee you're going to have a stronger connection to what's going on here. That said, even if I hadn't read the book and I wasn't going to go see it in theaters, it would be a movie that I'd want to see at some point. But I'd probably wait, Redbox it or something like that.
Something I would definitely go see in the theaters, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't in the military, like...
I'm really excited to see a lot of the great scenes from the book.
Yeah.
In the book... see, this is where I don't want to get too spoilery.
A lot of shit goes down.
There is a lot of shit that goes down, and...
I could not put that book down.
No, it's a page-turner.
I think I read it in, like, 2 days. And it's, like, six or 700 pages?
Yeah, it's a thickie. Yeah.
It's a thick book, but a quick read.
Yeah. So I'm really interested to see if it plays as much in its full version... as the trailer seems to portray, like, hey, this is pretty much what you fucking pictured. They did a great job casting. It's got Eric, the main banana banana. It's got
Marky Mark.
Mark, throw it at the wall and see if it sticks, Wahlberg. Which Mark Wahlberg, sometimes he's going to phone it in. For this one, it seems like he put himself into it. I'm sure he's shredded. He looks like maybe he put on a little bit extra weight for this role.
Probably the same weight that he put on for Pain and Gain.
But I'm saying like more weight.
Like chubby fat. Weight. Yeah.
Because Marcus is a big guy. And he's got big muscles and stuff, but he talks a lot in the book about how he's slow.
Mm-hmm.
He's like got a little too many like Texas burger.
Yeah. And he's like 6'5" or something
like that. Yeah, he's just a big slow lumbering guy. He's really bright. He's the sniper and medic for this particular unit, which really plays an important role in the story as it moves forward.
Yeah.
And I think he came back home. He was given a dog to help him recover, and then some fucking scumbags killed his dog. And then he went around and he did like a bunch of speaking engagements, which I've enjoyed watching on YouTube. Look up Marcus Luttrell. Just look up Marcus Luttrell and you'll see like he goes and speaks to schools and corporations and stuff like that. Kind of tells his story.
Here's the thing. I think these speeches are part of it called the Boot Campaign.
Yeah.
And they sell military style boots, and they're actually within regulation. You can wear them in your uniform and whatnot, but all the proceeds go to wounded warriors and veterans programs and whatnot. They do rides with the Sons of Anarchy dudes, like motorcycle rides and shit. They do a lot of cool shit.
He got married and had a kid.
Yeah.
And he's doing all right. He's a guy worth supporting, and if in some small way watching this movie supports him, then I say go for it and do it.
He just seems like the most humble dude ever, too.
Yeah.
I'm into that. While we're on the subject of Afghanistan, so Tom Cruise, the other day, in the news, told some reporter in an interview that what he does for prep and during filming is much like fighting in Afghanistan.
Tom Cruise. And you know Tom Cruise isn't dressing this up.
No.
You know he's pulling his punches a little bit. I'm sure it's much worse. Like, I'm sure it's much more intense than fighting in Afghanistan. We're talking about Tom Cruise.
He's
given us some of the best fucking films ever. Some of the greatest things that anyone could do. I am sure, leading up to doing a movie like he was in Tropic Thunder, I'm sure building up to that, it was like fucking war. when he did Collateral, I'm sure it was fucking war.
Like, he also said that physically he has to be in better shape than Olympic athletes because they only have to run like one or two races a year.
Yeah.
He has to run at least 30 or 40 times per film, or day.
Yeah,
is what he was
so
saying.
So if they're doing like a
per day per film,
if they're doing a 15 second shot of him running, mm-hmm. he might have to do that upwards of three times. So he does. He's all right. Much respect to soldiers. Y'all are dodging bullets and bombs and fucking potentially losing limbs and lives. Tom Cruise is doing equally important work. Olympic athletes, good for you. you worked your whole life perfecting.
No big deal.
You know, really just working with trainers, constantly watching what you eat, watch what you do, and watch how you live. Tom Cruise, I mean, he does the same thing.
The exact same
thing. Maybe he's not dodging bullets, but what he does is equally dangerous. When he's doing Pilates with his instructor, there's some implicit risk going on there.
Absolutely. He could pull his hammy. He could stub his toe.
A lot of bad things could happen.
A lot of bad things.
I'm in the Olympics. My fucking bone structure is fucked up from training with weights my entire youth. All right. Maybe Tom Cruise's bone structure is fucked up too. You know, he's only 4'3". I guarantee that's got something to do with his preparation for his career as the finest filmmaker of all time.
Well, imagine his face muscles. How those must feel. That dude is smiling all the goddamn time.
When he does that smile, there's a reason I'm on cruise control. And it's in part because of that winning smile. So, yeah. To the soldiers, to the Olympic, to the Olympians, to anyone that thinks, oh, Hollywood celebrities have it so easy. Oh, it must be nice to be Tom Cruise and be filthy rich and be able to be secretly gay and still marry attractive women and
go to that wacky church.
Yeah, go to that weird church of his that was created by L. Ron Hubbard on a goof. You say and do what you want, all right? Tom Cruise is fighting war all the time.
All the time.
Remember that little stretch of peace that the U.S. had?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise was fighting the war during that period, making some of the best fucking movies you ever saw.
Top Gun. Cocktail.
Which was originally entitled Cocktails and Dreams, which I think would have been just a lush and beautiful name. Cocktails and Dreams. Interview with a Vampire.
Mission Impossible 1.
Mission Impossible 2. Mission Impossible 3.
I think that came after the peacetime ended.
Oh, yeah, and Ghost Protocol. He did Legend. He did, what's it, Breaking Loose or whatever?
I don't know.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da. He comes sliding out in his underwear.
Oh.
You know how many times?
Risky business.
You know how many times he had to slide out in his goddamn underwear? More times than an Olympian. You never seen a soldier have to slide out in Ray-Bans and some fucking panties.
Fuck no.
So yeah, so just fucking this coming Monday is Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Let's not forget to honor fucking Tom Cruise for his sacrifice.
Send out a big thank you, whether it be on Twitter or the interwebs.
Facebook him.
Hashtag that motherfucker. Sure you thank him.
We're going to give our respect to the vets, you know?
Yeah.
We all know people maybe who have served or have given their lives or have family members or whatever. But on that sacred day, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance about the vets. Let's not forget about Tom Cruise and what he does for America and for the world, really.
Hoorah.
Thank you. I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you, Tom Cruise. We know that yours is a tough road and Tom, that people don't often say, hey, thanks, Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service and for your sacrifice. All right. We haven't forgot about comic books. We're still reading them. We aren't going to go down like a laundry list of fucking comics this episode. But I do want to mention, and I've mentioned it previously, but it's worth mentioning every damn time. Trillium by Jeff Lemire. He does the art and the writing for it, and it is right up there with my favorite comics right there, right now. It's... Like I say, it's on issue 4 of 10. I think 10. But I would keep reading this indefinitely. This is fantastic. I love the artwork. Some people are like, no, I'm not too into his style or whatever. Just fuck you. Just give it a shot. It's right in there with Saga, with Batman, with some of my favorite titles going right now.
I was a little hesitant about it at first. I don't know why. I think it might have been like the space... Same with Saga. I think it might have been like the kind of space age type of story. But I read the first two issues. I didn't know that they were on issue 4 already, but I read the first two and loved it.
Mm.
So I'm definitely going to continue on.
That's my
pick. Play catch up over this week.
What's not on my pick anymore is, you know, with Jay Lee stepping out of Batman Superman, I think I'm going to be stepping out with Jay.
I definitely am. I didn't even bother reading the last issue.
It's such a convoluted, twisted story. Really, yeah. it's a bunch of eye candy. And Greg Pak, the writer, very talented writer. Just that story wasn't working for me.
Nor me.
So yeah, that's a cool hour.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to try. We aren't going to put ourselves into any kind of confines in terms of how long this shit needs to go.
Yeah.
But I think we've set our piece.
Yeah, I think so too.
The fucking Kings are back.
Heyo.
Spread the word. We'll have something up again real soon. Quick thanks to our sponsors, Netflix, YouTube, fucking all the sponsors that provide us with all this free swag.
Comic books.
I'd like to thank sports in general. Hey, we need to fucking rally and we need to back up the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, fuck yeah.
They're having a great season so far. They've lost two or three in shootouts, and they lost their first real, like, they just got plain bested by the Sabres the other day. I blame one of my staff, who's a big-time Sharks fan. I was checking in with him, talking about the Sharks, and he was like, oh, yeah, they're going to smoke the Sabres. It's going to be super easy. Like, blah, blah, blah. Jinx. Oh, no, it wasn't the Sabres. The Sabres are the ones who won in the shootout. It was the fucking hated rivals, Vancouver.
Mm.
He's like, oh, we'll fucking stomp them. And so you don't want to fucking talk like that. Let's get serious about the fucking Sharks. We're licking our wounds on the Raiders.
Jesus, like are we ever.
We're fucking keeping quiet about what's going on over there. But fucking, yeah, let's get behind those Sharks. Congratulations to the Boston Red Sox, my old alma mater. I fucking did a couple seasons with those guys. First time winning the big one since, what, 2004, I think? That's
something
good.
Like that,
that's
yeah.
Nice. It's good to see Boston,
you know, what was funny,
stand strong.
I didn't hear a goddamn thing about the World Series this year at all. And it was kind of nice.
It was kind of nice.
Not having fucking every Tom, Dick, and Harry running around in Giants gear fucking screaming about the series.
Getting a fucking breather for a change.
Yeah.
It is kind of nice.
That's good shit.
Speaking of Boston, and yes, we are wrapping up. I didn't forget that this is this is the end of the episode here. And at the World Series, you hear those Dropkick Murphys do the national anthem.
No, I didn't hear that.
All right,
so I knew that they were doing it. Like they were all stoked talking about it on Facebook and shit. But
yeah, so we're gonna wrap this episode up in honor of. In honor of Veterans Day, like all jokes aside, fucking anyone that ever served our country at home or overseas as a member of the military, whether you agree with the fucking wars or not, whatever your political affiliation is, we all owe a huge debt of thanks to those willing to do the dirty work of this country. So thank you very much. Thank you, Dick.
Hey.
You're a fucking vet.
My pleasure.
In fact, on Monday, which, you know, this might not even be out Monday, but if in case it is, as you're fucking chilling out, know that Dick, who's an actual fucking soldier, is going to be working as a soldier while yeah. You fucking kick back. So here's the Dropkick Murphys doing the national anthem.
Rise and remove your caps. To present our colors this evening, we welcome members of the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Regiment Honor Guard. And now, to present our national anthem, we welcome the beloved Boston Band, whose music is part of the soundtrack of Fenway Park, a band now loved all over the world. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Boston's own, the Dropkick Murphys.
proudly we hail, and the twilight.